710 WOR. Real life, real people, real talk radio.
I'm Dara Wells on the WOR Morning Show. Joe Bartlett is off this week. Here are Donna Hanover and George Mead.
Thank you very much, Dara. Well, the state of Connecticut, actually all of us, are still reeling from the horrific home invasion in Cheshire, Connecticut, where the ranch-style house of Dr. William Pettit was invaded, allegedly by two guys who were on parole. And the wife and two beautiful daughters were brutalized and killed in a neighborhood where you just wouldn't imagine bad things like that could happen.
No.
You might imagine somebody would come and try to steal a car because there were nice cars, but you just couldn't imagine this kind of terror. And it really has caused a lot of people to say, jeez, could it happen to me? Well, we thought we'd give our friend Ellis Hennekin a chance to weigh in on this.
Honestly, what could be any scarier than this? You're inside your home, an armed intruder comes through a window or a door. 1,000 frantic questions go racing through your mind. Does the bad guy know I'm in here? Should I pretend to be asleep? Should I scream at the top of my lungs? How can I get to a telephone? What do I do if he comes in the room? And how do I protect my spouse or my children sleeping in another room? For reasons no one's quite sure of, we are having a wave of home invasions now. That horrible case in Cheshire, Connecticut, 3 members of one family dead. On Long Island, the 3 Bazile sisters bludgeoned as they slept. A 10-year-old in Inwood had his eye put out in a home invasion gun battle. And the cops report countless other cases of burglars breaking in while the people were at home. The experts say try to be calm when you confront an intruder. Turn on lights, make noise, get out if you can. But always have a plan. Keep a cell phone by the bed. I say, if you have to break into my house, and I really wish you wouldn't, why can't you just do it when I'm not home? Home is where we feel the safest. Home is where we get away from the world. Home is where I don't ever want to think about crime. I'm Ellis Hennekin.
Thank you, Ellis. And one of the people that was mentioned when Ellis wrote a lengthy column about this in Newsday, as he often does write wonderful columns, was a guy by the name of Steve Bramberg, who is the president of Stand Tall Seminars. He's a personal safety specialist and instructor. He teaches personal safety and self-protection to individuals and groups, and he's been involved in the martial arts for the past 15 years. And we thought we'd consult with Mr. Bramberg this morning. How about some ideas on how we can maintain the safety of our families? Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, folks.
So how about some ideas?
Well,
just can you reel them off so that we can go buy things or do things?
Well, the first thing, Donna, people need to keep people out of their homes. So the first thing is avoidance. You want to be prepared, and you want to have an alarm system in your home. You want to have deadbolts on your doors. I suggest that people even put deadbolts in their bedroom doors. And secure your house as best as possible, so you want to avoid any situation at first. Once they're in the home, the tides, you know, and everything changes, and you just have to have a plan and be prepared. You should discuss with your family up front, you know, what to do. People should know where to go, how to respond. And you should have some idea of how you would deal with this. You need to either take some lessons or have some weapons in the house that you know how to use safely, and I'm not suggesting guns.
But what kind of weapon?
Any household object becomes a weapon. You know, a simple pen on your bedstand, or a sharp-edged book, or et cetera, et cetera.
A fire extinguisher. How about that?
Excellent idea. People keep a fire extinguisher next to their bed. God forbid they're surprised and someone walks in the room. They can blast it at them and then run or hit them with it. But the idea is to escape. If you're not alone in the house and you have family members, you should discuss this up front. Everyone should have a plan, have a strategy, how to deal with it. And there are ways to foil, these robbers. By the way, 1 out of 4 homes that are burglarized are attended by residents at the time. That is a statistic. So people really need to be prepared.
What do you do about children? You know, in suburbia, things are pretty quiet. You know, the lots are bigger than they are in the city. And if you have children that maybe children are sleeping downstairs or upstairs, are intercom systems good?
Yes and no. You know, if the power is cut to a house, or, you know, your telephone line is cut, people do this, you know, sometimes, you need to have other means. The children should, if they hear a noise or, you know, they should maybe sleep with their doors locked if you can lock them. There's a number of ways to foil different things, but bottom line is you have to have a plan in advance, have some training, and understand what your options are. You can respond in such a way where you can foil these things. You know, and one can disarm somebody if they're, you know, somewhat skilled. You know, you never want this to happen, but, you know, you need to have preparation, a plan, and know what your options are.
With us is personal safety expert Steve Bramberg. Okay, a lot of people say, well, I've got a dog, but a lot of people also say my dog would lick somebody to death, you know, instead of they'd just be so friendly. So are there certain kinds of dogs that are good at this?
Well, loud barking dogs are the one. It's usually the noise factor. Lights and noise are one way to deter, you know, criminals. But then there are those that, you know, will go forward. There's even electronic barking dogs where a sensor could set something off and make a loud noise.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You want to startle someone and foil their attempt, you know, early on. If you are at home and you happen to hear the noise before they enter the home or, you know, as they're entering the home, you want to scare them off. And if not, you need to be prepared, have a plan, understand what you can do. There are physical ways to harm or stop someone, you know, very simply if you're shown how in advance and you practice.
Now, excuse me, Don, but the worst case scenario, now it happens. You're startled. You wake up and you're face to face with someone you don't know. What should be your first reaction?
You have to mentally understand that if somebody enters your home, you need to do whatever you need to do to stop the attack. And you have to just stop the person. Even if you call the police or you call 911 and you have the sense to do that, there's a several-minute lapse until they get there. In the 30 seconds to 60 seconds you have initially in any physical attack, you have to deal with it yourself. You just need to have some skills.
Steve, what if they have a gun pointed at you?
I understand. Well, you should be compliant if possible. If they just want money, the keys to your car, you know, et cetera, anything material, you give it up immediately. You don't even question it, and you hope they go on their way. You know, if they're doing something beyond that, wanting to tie someone up, take them elsewhere in the house or out of the house, you have to do physically whatever you need to do to stop that person. And there are ways to do it, but you just have to be shown in advance and practice.
Steve, do you get families together? Can a family come to you and say, okay, work this out for us, help us make our plan or a community? How do you do that?
Absolutely, Donna. And the thing about it is when we discuss family plans, every member of the family needs to be involved, even your children. You know, how you tell them, it has to be appropriate. You don't want to scare them, of course. But, you know, everybody should know it's similar to a fire drill, you know. Most families don't even have a plan how to evade or escape fire and what to do. So it's just a matter of planning. Most people are helpless because they're fearful because they have no information or knowledge how to deal with this.
Yeah, well, you know, in suburbia, they have these what they call neighborhood watches. I have it in my neighborhood, and anytime you see strange vehicles or strange people, you always call up the police. And maybe more of that should be done to talk to your neighbors once in a while, even if it's once a year, to get together and see if you can depend on one another.
Absolutely. The whole thing is avoidance and prevention. But once someone enters your house, you have to do whatever you need, and you cannot count on the police, you know, until they get there. You are the only thing between your family, you know, and those robbers. And one has to know what to do. There are ways to stop someone, to damage someone, to get out of being shot with a gun. You know, you may get slightly grazed or whatever, but, you know, if someone were to just take a few hours minimally, anyone could learn what to do. There are ways to avoid being shot.
I know a lot of people are going to be wanting to reach out for you and see what other kinds of advice you can give to them individually, and they can do that by going to standtallseminars.com, standtallseminars.com. I'm sure you'll be hearing from some of our listeners as well as some of Ellis Hennekin's readers. Thanks very much for being with us this morning.
You're very welcome. Thanks.
Steve Bramberg, who is the founder of Stand Tall Seminars. Lots of really good advice. He was just flying out there with ideas, and I was thinking, I like the barking dog, you know, the electronic barking dog.
Right. I've seen those. You know, and I think one of the problems, and you live in the city, I live in suburban areas, the further you go out, whether it's Connecticut, Long Island, or New Jersey, people want bigger plots. They want to be further away from everyone. And you get into some pretty remote areas where just about anything can happen in the darkness of night. So that's something you need to set up.